Thanks for tuning in to the Sermon Podcast from Reformation Lutheran Church in Las Vegas, Nevada. I'm Pastor Jason. This week's readings come from the book of Joel, chapter 2, verses 12 and 13, and verses 28 and 29. Thanks for listening, and God bless you. Grace and peace to you from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ, our coming Savior. Amen. Well, the lights are on the houses. This is true. Seems like more every year at our house. The tree is set up in the front room, and the Lego Advent calendar is bringing excitement every evening after dinner. We got the Harry Potter this year. The holiday decorations are just about everywhere. And we're making room for new gifts, new decorations. We're cleaning out the old stuff, sifting through toys and games and gifts from years past, thinking about what we use and what we store and what we move from place to place. Just too much stuff, right? And it's time to declutter. It's a good time to do it. To focus not on all the things necessarily, but on what really matters. So sure, we can make a run to the thrift store and maybe bless others with the stuff we no longer use. Rediscover toys and gifts and books that get passed on from one sibling down to the next. And we have this box of puzzles too. They're wooden. We like these puzzles. They're really fun, and they're great, but we might be missing a piece here and there. So they sit in this box, and they're hard to get rid of. Sometimes they get some attention and get a little love, but then we notice all the pieces that are missing. Why do we keep them? They mostly stay in their box, unseen, untouched, incomplete. What are the missing pieces in your life this year? In 2020, many of us are feeling like something is missing. It's been difficult. There will be tables with empty chairs, gatherings much smaller, fewer traveling to be with the ones they love. And with so many neighbors out of work, just struggling to survive, this Christmas will be different. Maybe the tension of a seemingly unending election season has stretched relationships, and we don't feel the peace that we long for in this time. So we do what we do in Advent, right? We wait. Advent is a season of waiting. That's true. But we've been waiting for many months now to feel something like normal, whatever that might be. So we wait with hopeful expectation, knowing the baby will still be born, the calendar will flip to another year, and the world is always about to turn. But some of us are still uneasy. Where is peace? What will the future bring? Will our city be able to reinvent itself once again? Will our friends and neighbors who work in the hospitality industry go back to lighting and stage work and performing and live music? Oh, I miss it. All those events, those who serve guests from across the world just waiting to go back to work. Will large companies continue with rounds of layoffs? Will teachers and students be back in the classroom at some point? Will we be able to worship in person again, to sing and to hug and to eat? How will we be able to serve our neighbors into this new future? How can we begin to dream about what will be when we cannot find peace? Because we know our world is not at peace. There's no absence of conflict between people and nations. Even inner peace is elusive when we do not feel whole or centered, when we worry or despair. Today, as we hear this word from the prophet Joel, we might be reminded of Ash Wednesday, of this call to repent, to turn, return to God. Return to the Lord your God, who is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. We remember that from Ash Wednesday. So whether facing impending destruction from an invading army or the effects of a national disaster, a swarm of locusts, this prophet Joel is calling the people to fasting and repentance. to prepare for something new. But in the meantime, to focus on God's word, to worship, to trust in God's mercy. But how can the people worship? Everything they have is gone. They've been wiped out. They do not have grain to bring as an offering. They do not have wine. They do not have a temple. That's been destroyed too. Still, they are called to return, to rend, and to receive. Repentance is hard. So often, human beings resist taking the blame for our own actions. A pastor I know in Oregon shared a story with me this week about a communion visit years ago. And he was supposed to bring communion to this elderly member of the church, but got sidetracked doing another activity and missed the appointment. So she called him up on the phone and asked, "Did you forget about me?" Ashamed and not wanting to admit the mistake, he told her, no, I didn't forget. But she knew better, and she hung up the phone on him. He called her back, but she wouldn't take the call. He felt bad, and later in the week showed up at her place unannounced on his day off, and she told him she didn't have time for a visit. And after some time passed, he saw her and apologized for forgetting the visit and lying about it. "Good," she replied. "Now we can move forward." When we cannot admit that we've crossed a boundary, done more or less than was needed, acted out of fear or anger and hurt others or ourselves, we can get stuck. When we cannot admit the mistakes of the past, we cannot move forward. We're unable to see new possibilities, and peace goes missing. So we've been through so much in the last 12 months, and knowing we're not quite out of the woods yet, it's a good thing then to take some time to reflect, to pause, to examine our lives and the ways that we've let each other down. A fitting way to wind down the weeks of this difficult year. Just like we go through the rooms of our homes and find the old stuff we've been hanging on to, letting it go, repairing what has broken, finding space for something new in our lives. This is a time when, with God's help, we make room in our lives for a new year, a new season of faithful worship and discipleship, of service and annunciation of the blessings of the peace and the peace that the Lord brings. Repentance, rending, renewal, this movement of return and rending and renewal, it's what God is all about. It's the ongoing story of God in the world. We've heard it this year. We hear it with Jacob's tricks and wrestling with God, with Joseph and his brothers' broken and renewed relationships, Isaiah's call to righteousness and the promise of the suffering servant. Daniel, we heard just last week how he refused to stop praying to God, and he oriented himself to Jerusalem, prayed facing the holy city from his bedroom window. Jacob and Joseph dreamed. Isaiah and Daniel, they saw visions. They saw the renewal of the earth that the Lord promised. And along with all the prophets, they spoke about God's forgiveness, God's love, and extended reign of shalom, of wholeness and peace. This is the story that we get to be a part of. It's the story we tell and return to every Advent as we await the new year, the birth of Jesus, and the promise of the Savior. We return to the Lord with fasting and repentance, with weeping and mourning. That's a part of who we are too. And we bring it to worship with us. Among this gathering, whether in person or online, we hold space for all that. And we know that God is making all things new, is bringing the peace that we have been missing in our world and in our hearts. As we repent, as we return to God, we get reoriented. And we're opened up to dream new dreams empowered to see a vision of the world that is unlike the one we have experienced. Maybe we're open to new visions for the future, for our families, for new relationships, for generosity and stewardship, for attention to our climate, for healing of the earth, movements for justice in our communities and partnerships to serve, especially to give help to those on the margins who fight hunger and homelessness, who are seeking fairness in the workplace or struggling to make enough to provide for themselves. Because peace is more than just an absence of conflict, more than just soldiers laying down weapons, right? So we give a thanks for a halt in fighting in places across the world like Armenia or Ethiopia. But we know conflict still exists and tensions continue across our world in many of these places and in our own neighborhoods. So we can't hide ourselves away from the world around us and just expect it to get all worked out by itself. Peace comes when we engage the other, when we find common ground, when we work together, not in opposition to one another. Peacemakers begin by listening. Peacemakers find mutually agreed upon needs and solutions that can move both sides forward. Here in our community, we get to partner with Nevadans for the Common Good to engage our neighbors, and that's where we begin, by listening. To listen and learn about the needs we all have and the things that we can work on together to make this a better place to live, to find new solutions. This January, and you'll hear more about this, but we'll be hosting some online listening sessions, inviting you to join us as we check in and check up on one another and find ways to support each other, especially for our neighbors who are struggling, and maybe create a little more peace in our time. But we know our efforts are limited. We can't get whole on our own. That's why we continue this process, this circle of repentance, rending, and renewal. This promise from God is that the Holy Spirit is coming. This same Spirit that we hear hovered over the waters of creation, that came to Mary, that was poured out on all the people, including Peter at Pentecost. And she comes to us in our baptism. And in just a few minutes, we'll come again for one more child of God. Lloyd is right here. We're going to do that in just a few minutes, right here in this place today. That's pretty amazing. The Spirit is right here with us. And so are you. So if you've been trying to return to normal, maybe that's not what we're after. If you're hoping this year to return to something that was, that already happened, and are having trouble finding a little peace in this season, I get it. We want what we know. We want the familiar. But this word reminds us that even if we've left the building, that God has not left us. That God is doing a new thing. The Holy Spirit is this power of love that binds us. It's the bringer of faith through the hearing of the word. It's the creative spirit that drives us, each of us, into the reality of the presence of the kingdom of God right here and now. And the source of the courage and strength that we need to persist through tough times. That Spirit of God is in us and on us and leading us through the troubles we face and preparing us to return to the Lord, to rend our hearts, to reach out and receive the rewards of grace and mercy in Jesus Christ, our Savior. God is our good heavenly parent who holds us as we weep and reassures us in our suffering and welcomes us back again and again in steadfast love to put together the missing pieces of our lives and to be the peace we really need. Amen.